Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Truth or dare? So how many of you played this game through those tough tween years? Now, maybe you played it at a slumber party, right? Or maybe it was while you were sitting around a campfire. The trick of truth or dare is deciding which option you are going to choose. Telling the truth or taking the dare. Before you know what the true question actually is or what the dare will actually be. So the fun of the game is sort of built around whether you choose to dare to tell the truth or instead hide the truth but take the dare. Now, I'm pretty sure that as kids sitting around with our friends, most of us had a good idea what to expect when it came to the truth questions that we might get asked, right? Who do you have a secret crush on? Or did you cheat on that math exam last week? Or what teacher do you hate the most? The dares, however, could be a little less predictable, although eating something disgusting or doing something stupid were usually a part of the bet. But let's admit it, most of us would usually choose to take a blind dare far more often than we would want to tell a blatant truth. Telling the truth might be scarier than actually taking that dare. Therefore, skirting the truth was something that we all learned how to do from very early on in our lives, and we continue to practice it often even today. So this game of truth and dare teaches us that we'd rather play it safe by taking risks than to be trustworthy. We would rather freely choose the consequences we have to deal with rather than to live with the consequences that come from a life of faith that demands our trustworthiness at every moment and with every encounter. Now, that's really the opposite position from the one that the Apostle Paul is advocating here to Timothy, his beloved and trusted companion in the faith. This week's second reading, Paul encourages Timothy by affirming both his past as well as his present experiences of faithfulness. Paul reminds Timothy that he has both a family connection to faithfulness through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, as well as through Timothy's own experience of a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline, that he personally received these things when he confessed his own faith and he was chosen and then blessed by Paul. So as Timothy's mentor, Paul then declares this: "For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him." Now, this is the way that our New Revised Standard Version of the Bible translated, and actually I think it is probably the more accurate of the translations. But I've also seen where certain other translations of the Bible will proclaim that Paul has said instead, "I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have believed." So the difference here, I think, in which these two verses are translated would all hinge on just one small Greek word. And that Greek word is pistis. Now, to translate pistis as belief instead of as trust is often I believe, our default position that presumes this Greek word is cognitive, a cognitive decision, and not a connective type of relationship. Nevertheless, this is often our modern default, you see. Because pistis really has less to do with your cognition than it does with your recognition, that of trust and who you're going to trust that relationship with. You see, it isn't in some belief or in some intellectual kind of position here that has brought Paul to faith. Paul declares that he has placed his pistis, his trustworthiness, in the person of Jesus Christ, because only he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Therefore, Paul proclaims his pistis in a who, not in a what. It's in a person and not in a set of propositions or principles. Pistis is not about cognition. It's not about what you know. Pistis is about connection. It's about who you are and who you know and how you walk in relationship with God and with creation. Pistis is not an intellectual concept or a belief. Pistis is about a relational connection, a trust that leads us to faith. And faith hinges not upon doctrines or principles, but upon trust and trustworthiness. In fact, Paul makes it clear to us that a profession of faith is a profession of trust. So let's be real here this morning. This kind of faith can end up being far worse than taking some momentary dare that we might take. Paul trusted in Christ and he ended up in prison. Early Christians who trusted in Christ found themselves assaulted, insulted, maligned, imprisoned, and even executed for their faith. So being trustworthy is not something that one just simply does on a lark. It's not a one-time truth or dare. But trustworthiness is opening ourselves up to a trusting relationship with God at every moment of every single day, no matter what that dare might be. Therefore, simply declaring that I'm a believer doesn't necessarily put you in good company. Don't forget that Satan also believes in God wholeheartedly, but works against the grace of God with all of his beliefs. So cognition may be about belief, but it requires nothing more, you see, than just a simple agreement. Connection, on the other hand, brings us into a relationship that requires not just agreement, but also action. Connection requires that we construct and then cross a bridge of trust. So the content of our Christian faith, the core, you might say, of our Christian character, is not just an agreement upon some fundamental theological principles, but it is an assent to a higher performance of sacred, an assent to a higher form of sacred practices. Christian faith is based upon relationships. It's based upon a real relationship with a living God that is anchored in trust. It is a trust that Christ's life and death and resurrection can really change and cure the brokenness of our human existence. It's a trust that our lives really do, in fact, matter in the eternal scheme of things. It's a trust that God's grace really does continue to save us in our 21st century world, just as it did back in that first century world. Now, perhaps some of you here this morning might recall back a few years ago, back to 2016, when the Roman Catholic Church officially canonized Mother Teresa of Calcutta as a saint. Now, Mother Teresa was originally from Albania. However, she chose to work with the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India, founding a new order of sisters that were known as the Missionaries of Charity, who were committed then to serving specifically the outcasts, the sick, and the discarded in the most fundamental ways that are possible. As Catholic nuns in a predominantly Hindu and Muslim country, the Missionaries of Charity never sought to ever convert those who they served. They only served trusting in the love and the sacrifice of Christ to give them the strength to continue in their service by their witness and not just by their words. Now, serving in trust does not mean servitude. And Mother Teresa, I will tell you, was no doormat. She was made of a whole lot tougher stuff than that. She had to be in order to be a trusted servant of Christ in a place like Calcutta. She personally ministered to all of those icky kinds of physical needs that those who are sick and possibly dying require. So how many of you who are here this morning would like to have held hands with Mother Teresa? Can you imagine having that on your bucket list? I held hands with Mother Teresa. But you know, to hold Mother Teresa's hands would have meant holding the hands that bathed lepers, hands that changed diapers on dying patients, hands that plucked diseased and infected children from the streets, hands that refused to leave the hospital until they would admit terminally ill infants for care. Her hands proved the trustworthiness of her faith. Now, Mother Teresa was very often pleased to offer internships or these short-term missionary experiences to those who would come and want to serve alongside with the Missionaries of Charity in some of the mission houses that she had established there. And often when the workers would be ready to return back then to their homes or their countries of origin, she would hand them this little small memento of their work in Calcutta and of the relationship that they had now established between themselves and those who were in such desperate need. Mother Teresa would hand out a type of a business card, actually, but it was really not about business. The final token that she would bestow upon those who came to work with her and with the other sisters was a small card that had a very simple set of phrases on it, and I decided to include that in the bulletin today. So if you open up to the middle of the bulletin, to where the sermon is supposed to be at, in there you will see what was on this card. You can follow along with me if you'd like. All right. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. I heard some of you saying it, so let's all say it together. The fruit of silence is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. You see, no one who just believes washes lice off of a dying man. No one who just believes holds a dying infant that has been discarded by its mother in their arms as it takes its last breaths. Belief doesn't do it. Only faith does it. Only faith is an absolute trust in and a dependence upon God's trustworthiness. And you can't get any more daring than that. The gift of Christ Jesus, you see, is a relationship that empowers us to step forward, even when taking a step backward would seem to be the more sensible thing for us to do. But you see, we Christians are called to step forward in truth, no matter what the risk, no matter what the cost, no matter what the shame or fear. We dare always to step forward in faith and trust in knowing that our Lord and that our God is right there alongside us. Therefore, we declare to live the truth that comes from taking the hands of the dying and the diseased and the depressed. So let's one more time recite those words of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. The fruit of spirit is prayer. The fruit of prayer is faith. The fruit of faith is love. The fruit of love is service. The fruit of service is peace. Amen.